Pickaxe.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Don't tune your dial, 99.8 Triforce FM. Oh, that's right. God.
We're not going to get there.
What was that?
We're not going to make it. There's a month to go, and we have at least four more to do before the big 100, so it's going to go
you
into...
You can do 99.11.
Lads, we're into decimals. We're into decimals. It's infinite numbers. 99.999. 99.9999. Bingo.
Bingo boingo.
I don't think it's confusing for the people at home at all.
I don't think so either. I feel like it's a lot of lead up and hype to something that I don't think we can deliver on at all, though. Like, how can we top all of these podcasts weekly, pretty much, and also the jugs that we sold to people? It doesn't get better than that, I don't think.
Yeah, but they personally know that. you buy a lemon, you know it's going to be a lemon, right? This podcast is a lemon. They know it's going to be bitter. It's going to have a rough exterior. And it's only going to be useful for a few things.
Yeah.
So that's it. They're not going to be like, why isn't this a melon? They know it's a lemon.
I don't know, though. This is the internet we're talking about. Like, expectations are wild on the internet.
Nah, they're loyal viewers and listeners.
I guess.
We made it this far. If you're still listening, you're in. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't say this podcast was a lemon. I'd say it was a lime, right?
You know, you're right. Sour. I was way off.
It's sour, but like it's close. It's British. You know, we're limeys.
Okay? I would say that this podcast is like a used dildo that doesn't appear to have any shit on it, but smells really badly of shit. That's my...
holy shit.
Yeah. I don't know why it would smell like shit so bad, you know, but...
It looks
it's
clean.
It's like one of those enveloping shit smells too, you know?
Do you
like
think
it enters the room and all of a sudden the whole room is just swamped with that smell.
Do people put them in dishwashers? Like on its own? Would you wash it in a dishwasher?
You'd have to wash it at some point, right? You're inserting that into your body. Like
you'd probably
have to get some Dettol on that.
Do you sling it in with the... Your underwear in a washing machine, does that ruin it? Is there some kind of thermal plastic that melts if it gets too hot? Could you dishwasher a dildo? That's the question.
It's like your trainers.
Is there branded dildo wash? Like, can you get just like a bottle of
dildo?
Shall
we look it up? I'm going to
dildo wash. Yeah.
Let me get a little incognito tab here. Hold on.
You just wash it in the sink with some hot water and you just like, you know, really just fucking rub it.
Dildo cleaning. How to clean sex toys.
You got
to
rub it clean.
Oh, this is from Glamour magazine. Nice.
Fuck yeah.
I'm sure there's a fluid you can buy.
Yeah.
Semen.
From any good...
Dildo cleansing fluid. TM.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you don't want to use anything too abrasive. No. It's got to go back in there.
Yeah.
You know, and you want to keep your bum hole nice.
The most basic way is to wash with warm water and a gentle but disinfectant soap or a damp cloth. If you're using soap, be sure to rinse well and dry. Laying them flat to air dry is excellent, but if you have kids, pets, or roommates, you may want to wrap them in a towel to stow them away post-haste.
Yeah,
this is a very efficient way to clean stainless steel items and most silicone.
You probably have to do that with your Fleshlight too, right? You have to get that thing cleaned out.
I mean, that even more so.
Yeah, because I imagine...
There are specialty wipes. There is a, and then you can run a UVC germicidal light over it to make sure.
Jeez,
if you're fucking a piece of plastic, how fucking picky can you be? Give me a break.
Is it like cleaning out a, I don't know, like something like a blender, i.e. that it's got, I mean, but obviously the complete opposite of a blender.
don't get your dildos if you put this mixed
don't,
up, guys.
Don't mention fleshlight and blender in the same
Sorry.
Sentence, please.
Is it, but in a sense, like some of these blenders kind of get quite like
gunky.
Dirty on the inside. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they get all gunked up in like the mechanical parts, right? Like the blades.
Yeah.
You get like all that fucking gunk underneath like the creases
of
the blades.
Good lord, we should have put a trigger warning at the start of this.
I can't imagine that anything is worse than what we're talking about right now, actually.
Do you know what's worse? Can openers. Can openers. Why do can openers get so dirty?
Well, because there's a lot of splashback, because the vacuum seal of the contents of the can,
the pressure
once you pop that open, you don't see it, but lots of gunk flies out. So it gets onto your can opener. Before you know it, you got a crusty, rusty, weird, gunkied up can opener.
A guy in the office, Will, who makes cave blazers, he makes his own food. Okay, now that's obviously unusual.
When you say makes his own food, I'd say anybody does that when they cook.
He makes
even
his
making
own
a
cheese.
Sandwich. He makes his own what?
He makes his own cheese, chili sauce.
How
he
do
makes,
you,
like,
how does he make
sausages.
His own cheese?
Oh, fuck.
He
was that the guy who made the fermented chili sauce last time I was in Bristol?
That's right, Sips.
And
that's right.
Fucking Paul opened it and it exploded everywhere. It went everywhere. I couldn't believe it. It was like the blender blade. It was just fucking in places you would never imagine it could even reach.
It went like you know, like where the Death Star exploded.
Yeah.
It had that that Saturn ring style explosion.
Yeah,
that
and you
goes
see
out
like
the
all
sides.
Those little. I love how there's like little pipes and stuff. In
that
the
was
explosion.
In the special edition. The ring effect. They added that. That was not in the original.
That ring of kind of debris and shockwave is something you see in movies. That was imagine that with chili sauce. Like it did a ring around the entire games night room.
Yeah, it was like it's bad.
Like fucking everywhere. It was insane.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe how
it was, and it looked really orange. It was like neon orange. This stuff.
It was dangerously orange.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of respect for people who make their own stuff like that, like chili sauce. And man, it's good stuff. It's not. I mean, it's weird.
I don't
how
know if I have respect for people like that.
What?
I just feel like, yeah, okay, good for you. Got more time than I do. If I had more time, maybe I would do dumb shit like that too.
Oh.
I don't have respect for people that do that.
What are you doing that takes up so much time?
Man, I don't know. I need to do an inventory, but I certainly don't have time to ferment chili sauce. Like, I don't. I just don't have that time in my day. Like, I couldn't devote even 1 second to that.
But it's a good
endeavor.
Diversion. It's a good, like, it's a good thing to look up. It's probably not that hard, you know?
I always thought that it would be nice to have a little greenhouse in my backyard, but not like a crappy plastic one that you buy at B&Q or whatever. I wanted to make a really nice one, you know? Like, have one kind of like out of the, you know, the orange grove or whatever that they have in The Godfather, you know, something like picturesque, organized, and with like a mist sprayer in there and like you know, a little place to hang my tools and gloves.
This
and
is
stuff.
Very doable, Sips. We can make this happen. Okay, this doesn't have to be a dream. This doesn't have to be a beautiful dream. I like how you started off this anecdote with that way of saying things like, "I've always wanted something, but also I'm never going to have."
Well, this it ties back
greenhouse.
Into why I don't ferment my own chili sauce, though. I just don't have any time to devote to that.
You were just telling us you were a little. You need a little break. There's your summer project. Build your...
Let's do it.
Oh, I'm going away, though. I'm going to be away for the whole break. I'm going... Man, listen to this, okay? I'm going to Telford. Like, next week, I'm going to Telford for the weekend. Yeah, I know. Nuts, eh? God, it's going to be fucking crazy.
Is that for Coxcom?
Yeah. And then I get back from that. And then in, like, a week and a half after I get back, I'm off to Lisbon for a couple of days for this bachelor party and to hook up with some of my Canadian friends.
Yeah.
Right?
So I'm there for a couple of days. I get back. I'm back for one day. And then I'm off to Bristol for a week for YogCon and, like, a mini family vacation. I get back. I got like 2 weeks. We're back for like 2 weeks. And then
I think I'm coming back with you, though, aren't I? From after YogCon, I'm coming back to Jersey with you for a week.
Okay. Well, I guess Lewis is coming back here for a week, too, then. I didn't realize, but there you go. So now Lewis is going to be here for a week. So I have to do that. And then shortly after that, we're off on another family vacation, but this time a proper one where I'm not going to be at a convention the whole time for like a week. And then I'm back for like a month, and then we're off to San Diego for TwitchCon.
Wow.
So I got a lot of travels coming up soon. Make some changes, make some life changes. Maybe I will build this greenhouse that I've been talking about, you know?
I might be away for 3 weeks over the summer. Unfortunately.
So how's that greenhouse that you're going to build going to get built?
Well, I don't have room for a beautiful greenhouse in my garden because we've got a little London garden. We don't have one of these big fancy Jersey gardens.
Right.
So I've got to go to Leicester, not far from Telford, next week to play Magic the Gathering. Then I'm going to...
I'm sorry, but feel sorry for you, both about Leicester and Magic the Gathering.
Then I'm going to Ibiza for a week with the kids, which should be fun. Then it's YogCon.
Nice.
Then...
Are you just going clubbing in Ibiza? What's the Ibiza trip? Isn't that like a famous party island?
He got invited by the Ministry of Sound, invited him out, especially him and his kids.
The actual Minister of Sound came to me.
The Minister of Sound himself.
I'm here from the Ministry of Sound.
I, the Minister of Sound, cordially invite you to the island of Ibiza!
That's exactly what happened. Everywhere he goes, there's a tiny speaker system just pounding out some banging music.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
I love the idea that you're going from Magic the Gathering to Ibiza.
Yeah, I know.
That's like both ends of the spectrum.
Then
okay.
It's YogCon, of course.
Oh, another completely
alternative
event. Wait,
so you're going to Ibiza before YogCon?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, he's got to get himself, you know, some stories to tell for the Triforce 100.
And then there's like summer holidays with the kids around and all that kind of stuff. And then potentially TI, if I get invited this year, which would be like 2 weeks in China.
Right. Oh, it's China this year, isn't it? Yeah.
Good Lord.
Good God.
Internationals in China. That would be amazing. Yeah. Which city do you know?
It's in Shanghai.
Oh, okay. Which is where you went before, right, for the major?
Yeah.
Was the major like a test?
It was not a major.
Oh.
It was just a smaller tournament.
That wasn't that one, the one that was a total mess with like two good and all that?
That was the Shanghai major.
Right.
So that was when James Harding was publicly fired.
You weren't there.
I was not there. Thank God.
It sounded like a messy one.
I went to China in 2018, I think December 2018.
Oh, right.
It was freezing cold and it was a very small event, but I'd never been to China before. So I thought, yeah, let's go. And I've got my cool Chinese visa in my passport, which has the Great Wall of China on the visa, which was nice.
Nice.
And yeah, I think it's still valid, so I can go if I get invited to TI.
You guys are away, we still have to keep this podcast up. We're gonna have to find time to do it because I really want to, like, you know, we don't
want to lose the momentum.
Now. They're expecting it, but mostly I want to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you in China and like be asking you all the questions about what's going on, what's all the spicy food, like what's all the tall buildings.
I'm sure we had a massive discussion about this last time Flax went to China. We spoke about food and everything.
Yes, we did.
Don't get me wrong. I'm up for talking about it again, but I'm just going to point out.
Correct. I don't want to get into the whole Shanghai thing again.
Well, listen, Sips, we repeat ourselves a lot in this podcast.
Should try not to, though, is what I'm saying.
Well, I don't think it's going to stop because we just...
I think I'm the worst offender for it, too. Like the bath plug story. Probably told that story about fucking...
I don't think I've heard the story about the bath plug. Do you want to go into it again?
No, please.
That's not
you know what? I talking of insufferable people, I was thinking today about how other people think about the rest of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was taking my kids to school. Their school is sort of down a little cul-de-sac. One of the roads you can get there is like a little cul-de-sac. And some parents drive down right to the gate, drop their kid off, do like an 18-point turn to get out. And it's really annoying. So this one guy was coming out of the road. And this other one was coming down it. And there was nowhere for either of them to go. So they both stopped. And neither of them was going to budge an inch. The one woman was just sitting there in her car with her arms folded, staring at the guy, very slightly shaking her head. And he was just sat in his car, like, with his chin rested in his hand, just looking at her, sort of eyeballing her. And there was, like, total lockdown. And I'm thinking, these two people have just had enough shit today.
Yeah.
And rather than think, like, some idiot cut them up in the road, so they're going to think that guy's an idiot, they're like, man, people suck.
Yeah.
And I just think how quickly we go from trying to think about everybody's individuals to you're having a bad day, to, that's it. I'm blaming every single other human being on the planet and you're all in trouble.
Yeah.
And I just wonder what that snap, where that point comes where you just can't bear, like you literally chuck everybody in the same fucking tub and drown them. That's the feeling in your head is I don't want any other human beings to interact with me. I'm sick of everybody.
I feel like you just described perfectly the design and development process for Teamfight Tactics. I think Riot sat down and thought, fuck everybody. Here you go. Eat shit. Here's this game. Like I think the people that made that game hate everybody and want them to be miserable. And then they made that game. It's like the manifestation of that in game form.
God, it really is. However, I see you've been playing it.
Yeah, I had like a bit of a mini binge on it, but I think I'm done now. I think
Thank
I'm over
God.
It.
You got it out.
It's too fucking random. Like the items and stuff. The carousel thing is fucking garbage too. Like it's nice looking and it plays well and it's auto chess, but there's just certain things that just suck about it. I don't know.
I thought Underlords handles the item thing quite well in that it gives you a choice of three when you win the item rounds and some of them buff your whole team, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
And I did think it was decent, but the problem I have is what happens if I just don't get good units? Like what are you meant to do? Because everyone's like, don't never reroll. Don't reroll. So it's all right, I won't re-roll.
Yeah, you spend the whole game getting fishing for like the one guy you need and you never get him.
Right,
and
but even then it's like it's all really I'm getting is garbage units. Everyone's like, I mean, like I could have a level 2 Slaughter, but Slaughter's garbage. Everyone says he's garbage. And then I could have a level 7-so Drow, but I don't have any other hunters. So what's the point? So why am I being offered these pieces that literally mean nothing to me? And I feel like what would be good is if you could spend a little extra money and get an extra piece. So it's like, this piece isn't on the board, but you need it, but it's three times the cost or something. You know what I mean? So rather than just fucking rerolling.
I think it would just imbalance the game so much, though. I think that
the
balance of the game is that it is so fucking random. Like, and I think as a basis for a game, you're back to being annoyed like you were in like Hearthstone and stuff. You're just at the mercy of total randomness, aren't you?
Some people love that.
I think
some
you're
people
right,
really
Sips.
Do
I think,
like it.
I think you're both right, actually. I totally 100% agree with everything you guys said. I love auto chess. I love the mechanics. I love the idea of it. But it is a crapshoot.
Yeah.
You know, if you just don't get lucky, or your opponents do. You know, I went into a fight yesterday, and there was a guy with like four level fucking three heroes or whatever. I was like, how have you managed to get this?
I know.
You know, I can barely string together like a fucking, I don't think I've seen, you know. You have, but that's part of
it
the
is,
game,
and it's one of those
but
things.
It's weird
if you're not getting the things that you need, you're meant to pivot out, and you know,
it is
start
all about
other
pivoting
stuff or,
and
or whatever.
I'm sure but, there's a skill, and everyone's like, where, stop whining. But yeah, I agree. Like, there's not enough decisions. Like,
I just don't know how committed I am to the pivot. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I'm getting to the point in the game where that's what's got to happen, and I have to be actively thinking about that, I'll just play something else. Honestly, the life
pirouette.
Is too short. Fuck, I hate that. It's like
I mean, there is a ranking system, and there are definitely people that are very, very good.
Yeah.
And if you watch some of the guys on streaming that are really, really good, they win or they finish top two or three very consistently.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're
it
doing
appeals
something right.
To people who play cards and stuff, right? It's like people who play poker and stuff like that. You know, there are.
I think it's
definitely great. Strategies to it. If you're fucking Rain Man and you're counting all the toothpicks and stuff or whatever, but like
I
to be up for doing it. I think
I love playing these types of things, and do you know what, I think that we give it we talk about it, almost give it too much, we expect too much from it. Like, you know, I play a lot of board games, and a lot of these board games I sit down, I spend like 2 hours learning them. Like, you know, I played this game at the weekend. It's like a deck building card game, right, called Brass Empire. And I've been playing some games with some of the guys in the
Brass
office.
Brass Empire?
Me and Sips played
Brass Empire.
Brass Empire. Oh, yeah.
Sounds
so
like,
we all get a fleshlight.
I play that every night.
I'm looking it up on Steam right now.
And it's not on Steam. It's a board game.
Curses!
And so... Well, Swin Sips was down. We played Terraforming Mars.
Oh, that was fun. Hey, you know, there's a Steam edition of that, and it's not that bad. It's not amazing. But.
But there's also all these board games on iPad, and they have been for ages. You know, I've played, you know, all just tons and tons and tons of them. And they're good, like, for a couple of games. You know, first of all, you have to learn the fucking game. Everyone has to learn the game, which takes, like, 2 hours. So the first game, no one has a good time because everyone doesn't really understand the mechanics.
I disagree. Okay. I think the first game is pretty fun because you're learning how it works and stuff. And
but there's always some guy who knows how to play because he's teaching you or he's slightly more cleaned
maybe,
up.
Yeah.
And so therefore he just spirals out of control and you don't realize. Anyway, the first game's always a write-off, okay? But from then on, you have like two or three games that are good and then you're done. You know, you don't really play. You're like, do you want to play that pool game? Nah, I already really played it. You know, I've seen all the cards once. But when it comes to like Hearthstone or some of these other games, like the Dota Chess, we seem to want to keep thinking that you play them hundreds of times. And like, what? Like, why? And I think it's the games companies have to like try and hook you in and keep you playing with small rewards and unlocks and cosmetic things. They have to trick you.
I mean, essentially, it's a mobile game. You sit down and play for a bit and then you're done. Right.
I think my attitude towards gaming has become more of that. Like
I think
like,
where I
love
I think
this.
Where I get to
I'm
with a lot
with
of
now.
Games and certainly where I'm at with Teamfight Tactics is I'm joking. I think it's all right. I think it's a pretty good game. I think they've done a pretty good job with it. Like and like when I say I hate it, I'm just a bit salty because like I lost
exactly.
the
I
last
think you have
game
to
I
pick
played.
Up on that though. You have to pick up on the fact that when you're not enjoying something.
Well, I think the problem I have with specifically a game like with Auto Chess is that I get to a certain point where I don't feel like I'm terrible at it. You know, I'm not placing last every time or whatever. I mean, some games you just get really unlucky and you do or whatever. But like I think if I try hard, I could consistently like, you know, place pretty high or whatever or even win. But I'm sort of at the point now where I'm more frustrated than enjoying it because I just don't know how to get better. And I don't know if I want to get better at it either. You know what I mean? You get to a point when you're playing a game where you're starting to get frustrated and it feels like you're not enjoying it. And you have to really think to yourself, okay, am I really just not enjoying this? And like, it's time to move on sort of thing or what? You know what I mean? Like, I think you have to get to the point where you're saying, yeah, it's frustrating. I know I'm making mistakes and I know how to get better and I'm willing to do that. Or, you know, I'm just done with this. Like, this is just not enjoyable at all
games,
anymore.
Like, I remember when I was younger, I would, certain board games and miniatures games too, when I was at school, I would obviously only really be able to play them when I was at home. And so when I was on the bus, I'd have to read the rule book. Or when I was at school, I'd have to like, in my lunch hour, I'd have to like, or... You know, I'd have to like make notes and stuff and plans and read other people's thoughts about it and chat to my friends. And I like that was a different way of playing games to just the sort of the way I can play them now, which is just be into the game. Like very rarely do I have to come out of a game and read a guide or read a forum post or read it what other people are talking about. So I'm not exposed to that kind of osmosis of like discussion around something. And so I'm very like isolated whereas like it didn't. Well, I think if I had like a real job. where I was able to like do stuff differently. Like I realized that because me and Sip's been playing Path of Exile, and I realized I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I was just enjoying it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot more when I was just blindly enjoying it, figuring out the mechanics and having a fun time. I really resent having to read guides and stuff.
But I've learned more now, and I regret not having learned more a bit about it. I feel like, but then again, I feel like I had to read an instruction manual. Games are different. There's so many different like weird things and different things for different people.
You know what it comes down to, lads? It comes down to this: we're not very good at games. None of us.
No.
It's us three. Okay, I'm not talking about all the listeners out there, and we're just not very good at games. So what we really want is a game that challenges us enough that we can still win and we feel good about it. Like, we don't want it to be too easy because it's like, it's too easy. Even a chode like me can beat it. We want a game that gives us just enough challenge, but is still beatable so that we feel some kind of sense of achievement. But that game would still be too easy for everybody else. Games that are hard are hard for us. But they're super good and fun for the people who are good at games. So these games have to be difficult, or they're just too easy for most people. We suck. We're the wrong metric.
You do need randomness to overcome that, though. Like, sometimes it's nice to play a board game with my parents, and they have a chance of winning through randomness. You know, and that's fine. Like,
people quite like a bit of randomness. It feels like a slot machine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your units come up in in Dota Underlords or Auto Chess or whatever, and he's like, oh shit, I just got a level 2 Terrorblade on turn 3. This is ridiculous, you know? And that's that feeling is like hype. People quite like that bit of randomness. It's like opening loot boxes and shit. You know, people love all that shit. They like a bit of randomness.
I think like what we did was like when me and Sips played Terraforming Mars, we went through this phase though, because we played it for a couple of nights. And so we played the first game we played, we didn't know what we were doing. Second game we played was pretty good. Third game we played, you know, after we just finished it, we were like, okay, these cards are terrible.
Yeah, you could start. People were actually starting to get salty at outcomes by the third game.
But then we brought like a new player in and he hadn't been through that learning experience. And so he was like, always just going to lose every game to us. And because we discussed which cards were good and bad and stuff. And then the next game, we were like, oh, we shouldn't really even be using these cards because they just make the game unbalanced. And then we started changing the game. And at that point, I was like, let's fucking find a new game. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. It was
this weird process of, and it happened really quick, you know, as well. Because it was, and it's not that simple of a game. It's, you know, it's got fucking two decks of 200 cards each and they're all different. You know, it's got lots of stuff in it, but we quite quickly realized how things looked and what was good and what was bad. And it felt like they hadn't balanced it necessarily very well. And maybe they couldn't. Like, I mean, that's the nice thing about digital things that have been around for a few years, that they've had like the ability to tweak and change and adjust them and balance them into something which is more, I don't know, like scratches those itches, is fair, but also is fun. You know,
I don't,
like, you want a bit of that.
I don't know how, like, Flax, I could group you in this as well. I don't know how people play the same game for as long as they do. That always blows me away. You know, like, people that, like, I used to play a lot of Hearthstone, and so I'd watch a lot of people streaming it as well. And I haven't played Hearthstone for, like, the longest time. I haven't been interested in it in a long time or whatever. Hearthstone's been out for how many years now? God, it's got to be, like, what,
five?
Seven?
Six?
Six,
yeah,
or,
maybe.
Six
I
or seven
it was
years.
Five or six, but yeah.
And some of these guys have been playing it like every day since it came out.
Yeah.
Like every day without fail. And yes, sure, some of them like stream it and they make a living off of it or whatever. But like, holy fuck, the amount of like the sheer amount of hours that they put into like that game. I mean, I put a lot of hours into Hearthstone, but nowhere near as many as like a lot of people sort of thing.
Right.
And like you with Dota, like, well, how many hours do you have in Dota? Like 8,000 hours or something 8, 000, like that?
8,000, yeah, 8,000.
Oh, it's crazy. Like, I think the most played game I have is Dota. And I'm not sure like how much of that is just leaving the client open during like tournaments right. and stuff and right. stuff like that, not actually playing the game or whatever. But even then, like it's like not even, it's like, oh, just over 1,000 hours. Like I seem to cap out on a game at like 300-400 hours. And that's like, it has to be exceptionally good for me to play that much of it.
This was definitely a thing from WoW too. Even back in the day when I knew you weren't as hooked on WoW as some other people were, in a sense. Like you were in the same boat, but you would just go away. You'd be like, oh, see you later. I'll see you in like 6 months.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And you'd just be gone.
For like the next expansion or whatever, yeah.
And it's like, that's a good thing though. I think there is something in the with the business though, because I feel like you, PFLAX, you know, you do know that you do Dota for a living. You're a, you know, high level commentator. You know, cast and host tournaments. It's like part of your income. So
I'm not, you want to stay relevant. Just to finish what I was saying though, I'm not using it as an excuse to say that's why I'm bad at games. But I feel like if I played like the same game a lot more, for example, I'd be a bit better than I am now, sort of thing. But I get to a point with a game where I'm just like, I've just played this like way too much or just enough, and I'm ready to just move on to something else or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, so I'll have a lot of games that I have like a couple of hundred hours in, and most of them are like, you know, dad games like Oxygen Not Included and stuff like that.
Right,
but,
right.
But you know what I mean? Like I get to a point where I'm just like, I've just done like as much as I really want to do in that game, and I'm done, and I don't really want to play it again. Or like sometimes I'll feel like playing it again, you know, like something like Prison Architect or, you know, some shit like that. I can come back to again after a couple of months and be like, yeah, sure, you know, whatever, I'll play this again, sort of thing. But like a online competitive game, like I don't know how people play it that much. Like I guess there's like factors to it, but me personally, man, I would just burn out like so quickly.
For me, it's if it was a single player game, I wouldn't be able to play it that much. I mean, the weird thing is, I'm not like a massive tryhard who spends all their time studying and thinking about and practicing and all that kind of stuff. But when I do play games, I really want to win. Like, I really want to win everything that I play. Like, I really enjoy winning. But because I'm lazy, I don't actually want to put in the work to improve or learn.
Right.
So, like, when it comes to Dota, every time I play it, I mean, I am getting very, very slightly better over the last 7 years. But, when I compare how I am now compared to 5 years ago, I was genuinely awful. But now, I mean, like, I'm average. Like, I'm an average Dota player. Sometimes do some good stuff, sometimes do some bad stuff, but pretty average. But given that I'm old as fuck and learned a brand new game from scratch, I don't think that's too bad. And you think about when you're 18 or 19 and you're obsessed with something, it's a lot easier to just absorb like every aspect of it and throw yourself in. I see my kids doing it. Like, my eldest is really into games. And when she wants to learn something, she'll get every source of knowledge she can about it, absorb it, read it. She's reading it while she's having breakfast. She's reading it as soon as she gets home from work, from school. We haven't sent her out to work yet. And, you know, she's watching videos about it. She's obsessed. So her current thing she really wants to play at the moment is actually Dota.
Right.
And I know that if she really, she wants to play against bots, and that's all I'll let her do till she's like probably about 15, because it's so toxic. definitely won't let her use a microphone.
Oh my God.
But so I know that when she starts playing Dota, which she inevitably will, she's going to be way better than me in like 2 years. Like, way better. The reactions will be
there.
Maybe
2 years, 2 days.
No. It takes a long time.
No. You're overregging yourself.
No,
P-Fax.
I'm telling you.
You're an old man.
It takes a long time to learn.
Oh, my hands are all arthritic. I don't know how I can still play Dota.
The thing is, she will sit and read the patch notes. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I can imagine her reading. She is a massive nerd, bless her. And she will 100% love reading about every single hero and all the counters and all the spells and all the details and all the interactions. And it will all be stored in her Galactus brain to remember. But it does still take time to just learn everything, because there's some stuff you just haven't seen, like juke spots and all that kind of stuff, and all kinds of little things like snatching the Aegis. The first time you do that, the timing it just right, knowing where the enemy team is, it's all experience. You know, that's not Twitch reactions. That's literally just experience of, oh shit, I've never lost a game that way, and now I know. You know what I mean? So yeah, I reckon in 2 years she'll be able to crush me when she starts.
Are you hoping to train her into a future?
I'm hoping not to train her. I really don't want to affect her with any of my bad habits. So what I want to do is...
Yeah, she won't have a chance if Flax trains her. She'll need to be trained by somebody.
What I wanted to do is learn the game by playing against bots, so that she understands how the controls and basically what some of the heroes do. And then to just start playing games and see if she gets better. Watch people play. You know, I'd happy to her to watch tournaments. Like, I put it on the TV if there's a tournament on, and I'll watch it on Twitch on my telly, and they love it. Like, the kids are glued to the screen. She loves it. And she's got a million questions. So she's super into it. But if a new game came along now, it would have to be really fucking good for me to react like that. Like, exceptionally good to knock Dota off that list for me as, like, the best game. And I don't know how I don't know. I want to play it straight after we finish this, and I will. Like, I'm going to start streaming and play Dota.
But so what is it? Is it you? I get that you genuinely want to play it and you enjoy it and stuff. But do you feel partly invested in it too? Like, you feel like
no, not at all. I don't feel like this is for my living.
The
like,
amount
in fact,
of
when
time that
things,
you've invested in that game, does that sometimes put you off trying other games where you're like, I don't want to play this game because I don't want to get into it because I'm already into this other game? Like, does ever factor in?
No, like, sometimes I've taken 2 weeks off playing Dota. Like, I've played, like, when I played XCOM,
I
loved XCOM, right? And I streamed it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I'd stream at the weekend and for like 8 hours, just XCOM. Every morning, every evening, XCOM. And I literally just took an extended break from Dota because XCOM was so good. But I can't just keep playing that over and over again because it's too samey. Dota, it feels like a different game every time. And when you pull off a game-winning play, or when you're about to lose and you turn it around, it's too exciting. Like, winning a really close game of Dota, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
So in games, you know, obviously sex is better and being really drunk and stuff like that. But I mean, in terms of games...
Very specific. Yeah.
Doing I don't know, drugs. Man. I think owning noobs on the internet, though, is like definitely up there.
Fucking noobs!
Do you reckon if you were into something else, like in a big way, your daughter would be into that in the big way? Do you think it's just because you're doing it that she's interested?
No. She is very contrary. Like, she's into Pokemon. I hate Pokemon. I've told her I hate Pokemon. She still loves Pokemon. She's very willful. She likes something, that's it. She doesn't care what you think. Or if she doesn't like something, she's like, nope, not doing it. You're like, but it's really, no.
Do you reckon she would have even heard of Dota if it wasn't for you?
No, probably not. But I mean, she's seen me play other games and be like, what are you playing? And I tell her, and she goes, huh, no interest. Mm. She's really interested in card games that I play, like when I play Magic or something like, or Artifact, she quite likes those. Because she likes cards, right? She likes Pokemon cards. She collects cards. So she's interested in card games.
Yeah.
We had a poker home game and she watched us play poker and she really liked that. She wanted to play straight away. And I was like, well, we're playing for money, sweetheart. So you should probably not. Yeah. But she wants to play.
Get your purse. Yeah,
like, you've got
your
one of those
money,
fucking, you got one of those like green see-through visor things on and a cigarette hanging out of your mouth.
Smoke hanging, a pool of smoke over the table. I don't know, kid, you got any money?
Me and the boys are playing for money.
You pour it out like a glass of whiskey and you're like, see what this tastes like. If you can handle this, then maybe you can handle the game.
Wow, so, that's a whole nother level. Get my 10-year-old drunk and steal her pocket money at the poker table. You're ready for parenthood, Lewis. I tell you what, my friend, with that attitude.
It's going to be good. So I think there's something very physical. Does she collect the physical Pokemon cards?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I mean, there's something very nice about like board games in a sense that, and just holding a dice or a card in your hands, like there is something that transcends like the, and I mean, it's not even not, it's, like in VR, it's not quite the same. You know, there's something strangely, you can play a lot worse of a game, is what I'm saying,
right,
on like a table with friends.
But I think it goes to what you were saying about why people like, and what Sips was asking is, how do people play Underlords and how do they play whatever the League One is called and all this stuff? How do they do it? It's so random, but it feels like collecting.
I guess it feels like
doing some kind of Pokemon style, got to catch them all. Collecting shit. Like, if you showed me the Pokemon mobile game, Pokemon Go, a few years ago and said, this is going to be massive, I would have said, what? It's ridiculous. You just walk around and click on a thing. It's stupid. But people fucking love, people still play that shit.
Yeah.
People love random bonuses happening that they feel like they've won something, even though it's just stuff on a screen. It's weird.
I feel like in a game like Dota or like a game like CSGO, I feel like the skill curve is more understandable. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I understand that there's things that you could do to become mechanically better at aspects of those games. Whereas something like Teamfight Tactics or, you know, Dota Underlords, like Auto Chess,
it doesn't feel like it's in your control.
I feel like you get to a point where you're just sort of like, okay, I can only use so much, and then I really just have to luck out. Like, even with the best strategies and the best foresight or whatever, I really have to get lucky at certain points. And, like, maybe there's an element of that to Dota and Counter-Strike. You know, in Dota, you might be setting up for a big team fight, and you might luck out that one of their guys is out of position or something like that.
Yeah.
But you feel like you have a lot more control over it just with raw skill, you know, like with those games.
If you look at the guys that are really, really good in Dota, they're so much better and they're consistently so much better that there's a very obvious skill gap between me and, say, Miracle, right?
Yeah.
There's no luck element there. He is just so much better than me, and his reactions and the way he can assess what's happening on the screen in a microsecond, whereas it takes me a good length of time to sort of the old brain delay thinking, you know, what's happening here? Or what are we, you know, it's like my brain is processing things a lot more slowly than his is when it comes to Dota.
Maybe there's,
that is a skill. That's something you could practice.
Yeah.
Like, he's done nothing for 10 years but play Dota, basically. He's got thousands of hours in it.
And I guess a game like Auto Chess, that experience and ability counts for something too. Being able to read the board, like being able to sort of read a game of
poker.
But
there is more luck to it than Dota, I think.
I think so, yeah. I'm just like, it's a weird one because I've been playing it a lot recently. I feel like I'm done with it. Maybe I'm not like totally done with it. It's interesting, but I don't know. It's frustrating.
Well,
too.
Here's the thing, right? I wonder, like, these people who play Hearthstone every day and Dota every day, what they miss out on. And obviously they're missing out on a big portion of things, okay? And God knows what it is. Like, from a sense of, like, you're not, you know, going to social events or, like, doing pottery class or hanging out with friends. I don't know. So things time is, like, a resource, okay? And, you know, you spend it on the things you want to spend it on. But just within gaming, I think that I've found that through doing, like, today I played and playing different games, there is like a limit. So, like, trying to play, when I try and play a different game every day, I find that I end up playing quite a lot of similar shit, or so quite a lot of bad shit. And
I guess playing a lot of games every day, you probably are acutely aware of like the current trends in gaming as well. Because if you're playing a lot of similar stuff, you know that everybody is just like, oh, this is the new like fucking genre that everybody needs to be playing. So you, all of a sudden, you probably notice like a massive influx of like samey games or whatever.
You know what? Talking about games reminded me. There's a story that that Tom tells. He told me, because him and Ben used to play games in Bristol. Like, that's how they met, right? Was playing board games and stuff like that. Like, I didn't know that Tom and Ben go back as far as they did, but way before all this stuff, they used to play games. And they used to go to this games club, and there's a game called Starfleet Battles. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a board game with a hex map. It's all paper tokens. And they've never made an online version of it that's any good, as far as I can tell. But it's super nerdy, and I loved playing it. And it's very technical. And you have your grid, your hex map, and you've got your units. And then you've also got a sort of sideboard piece that's like a paper cutout of your ship. And it's got all this, you know, they've got this many photon banks and this many phaser banks.
It's like a grid.
Yeah.
It's like a piece of graph.
Exactly.
Paper.
And when you take damage, you have to cross off systems and stuff like that in certain orders, depending where the damage has come from. And you can select where the damage goes. You can repair stuff. You've got damage control, et cetera, et cetera. But the other thing is you have to assign energy. So you've got your reactor and you assign energy to parts of your ship. So I'm going to put it all into the forward shields because he's in front of me, more into the forward shields. And we're going to have some impulse power and some warp power and all this kind of stuff. And there's like life support and all the rest of it. So Tom had just sat down to this game. So he wanted to play this game. He didn't really know how to play. Just picked it up. The guy explained the rules and they got all the board. They got everything set up. They got everything ready. It's taken a while to get everything together, explain the rules. And they sit down and the guy's like, right, everybody assign, you know, let's assign our energy. And he does. And because Tom hasn't played it before, he forgets to assign any energy to life support. So the turn starts and the guy says, right, you didn't assign any energy to life support. Your crew is dead. And he was like, oh, sorry. Can we? The guy goes, no, that's it. He's like, okay, game over. The guy won. That was that. And Tom was like, fuck this. Because like the guy just took the win against a brand new player rather than actually just say, oh, yeah, just take a point off energy and we'll you know, you're just learning the game. The guy just took the win. And I think a lot of people play games like that because to them, winning is so much more important than having fun. It's the same in Hearthstone and anything else. They play against some newer player when the new season starts and they roll them with their disgusting deck and the guy has no answer and has no idea what he's doing. And they love that.
I meet
that.
People like that all the time.
Yeah.
They're called cunts.
Yes, they exist. They have to have fun too. Lewis, think about the cunts.
They exist, but we actively ignore them and work hard to not invite them to anything ever,
right,
or shun them from events.
Right, of course.
I hate those kind of people. They exist, though. They exist all the time. It's amazing how many people like that I meet as well. Like, you will not, like do the most amazing, like, things that just boggle your mind, you know? Like, just, like, they have no social skills whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah, they live for that win. And they're probably going to go write it in their little fucking Starfleet Battles diary. Won a game today when this complete noob forgot to assign any power to life support. Lol. Plus one for me in the win column. Just take the W and he's happy with that. Doesn't want to actually play. You know, doesn't want a competitive game. Just wants the W. It's just, that's people, man. That's the same people that will not back up when you're going down a cul-de-sac and they're coming the other way, arms folded. They're just going to take the W. You either back up. They don't care if they have to spend 5 hours there and the police are called and they're banging on the window. They're not moving.
Yeah.
That's a loss.
Sometimes, though, like, it's the opposite, right? You meet this guy and you play with him and he is like, like discussing like every move, you know, he'll be like, oh, okay, so you're thinking this, so I'm thinking this, and it's almost like you're doing training or something together, you know, because it's kind of like you're playing against each other, but you're also playing with each other in a sense, like you're it's weird, like weirdly,
yeah,
not competitive.
Playing games with Ben is like that, because I've played games with Ben and he's like, okay, here's how the game works. And every move you do, he'll say, right, you've got to remember, blah, blah, blah. And don't forget, you could have done this. Like, he really is helpful. And I think the reason is that Ben actually wants a good game. And that's all I want ever, is a good game. Like, when I play Dota, I want it to be two even teams and we go against each other. That's why I hate Smurfs so much. That's why I hate cheats so much, is because I just want a really good, close, even game. And win or lose, that's fine. Like, I'm going to try my best to win, but if we lose a close game or win a close game, it feels the same to me. We had a good game. And that's the essence of it. But for some people, winning is much more important, even if they have to cheat or take advantage of your lack of skill to do that.
There's something nice in having a pure game.
Yeah.
And it's something nice when you have, like, most games you can kind of play, even if you're quite new to them, you can think, okay, I'm going to collect germs. Do you know what I mean? I'm gonna collect all the plants and terraform Mars with plants. That's going to be my strategy. And you're going to go down that route. And if it doesn't pan out, then RNG or whatever. Or just I didn't do it well enough or whatever. You know, I missed an opportunity or I didn't draw this card or I didn't do that. You know, you can kind of, most games have that thing. And it feels like you can, I like games like board games. Some board games don't work, like Monopoly doesn't work because people get kicked out and then it's not inclusive. The best games are the ones where you don't quite know until right at the end.
Yeah, everybody's in it till the end and then you tally up scores or whatever. Yeah.
I don't like board games where someone gets knocked out. I hate that. That's why I hate playing tournament poker. Like, I want to play cash poker so that if I get knocked out, I can just buy back and the game continues. I just want to be playing the game. You know what I mean? That's why...
Yeah.
That's the essence of a good game, is it should be... There can be a leader, but it's not like you're out, you can't
win. I think
win.
It
like,
works it for it works better for different games, but a game like Monopoly, I think it's impossible to have a good game, right? Like,
yes, it's impossible.
Like a Monopoly, someone will crack. By design, is that everybody is just a cunt, right? Like you can't.
Well, it's meant to be, right?
Yeah. So it's a
salutary lesson.
It's a different game, but like something like Terraforming Mars, like I would never dream of sort of being so. Nope, the turn is over. No, you can't redo that. You can't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
you're sitting around a table with your friends playing a game. Like, it's not. Yeah. I don't know.
I want to meet those people and find out more about them, you know? Talk to them?
I've said this as well when I used to play Apex. I want to meet people who fucking install aimbots and cheat and stuff. I want to meet, like, one person who actually has gone out of their way to do that. And
yeah, what are they
enjoying playing like five games before their account gets banned? Like, it's
yeah,
who
what's
does
going
that?
On there? Are you, are they sad? Are they embarrassed about it? Are they unapologetic about
yeah,
it?
Is it's it really weird? Isn't
do
it?
They actually get a thrill from cheating more than they do from the victory? Is it the are they just trolling? Like, what is going on? What is their regular life? Are they perfectly normal people everywhere else? Because I've read an article about these people who online troll, but you wouldn't know they're online trolls. Perfectly normal people. They have jobs and families, responsibilities. Everybody says they're a trustworthy person, but when they're on the internet, they just go out of their way to troll people.
Right.
Like, that's what they like.
They just
that
turn into
a
monster online.
Yeah. Weird, isn't it?
It's really weird. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like if I met some of these people, like, face to face, instantly it would click. Like, the minute they open their mouth, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I can see why you do the things that you do, sort of thing. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I just get that sense that there's like a type out there, and like I have this feeling that I've met this type of person before, and I've chosen not to surround myself by these types of people as well. But I could be wrong, like you said. It maybe it's just like a regular, ordinary person that I, you know, that I work with, that I really like. But then when they get home and they got their gamer tag on, it's just like they're a completely different person.
They're impossible to know.
Aimbot.exe.
Did you guys watch Black Mirror, the new series yet?
No, I haven't seen any Black Mirror at all. Ever.
Have you played Striking Vipers? Do you want to go on it tonight? Because
okay, but I get to be the dude.
It's pretty good. I sent you that VR thing, right?
So one of the episodes, Sips, this guy sends a game to his buddy to play Striking Vipers, which is like basically Mortal Kombat, right?
Right.
But it's the VR version of Striking Vipers, and it's super immersive. You put this on, and it's like you're in the game.
Right.
So when you get punched, it hurts. Like, you can feel the impact and stuff, but you can do all the moves. So you're like transformed into this super agile ninja or whatever. But he picks his character, which is this dude, and his friend, as usual, picks his character, which is like this hot woman. And they sort of start fighting. And then as they're fighting at the end, they kiss each other.
Right.
And it's like, oh shit. And they come out of the game like, oh my God, what happened? And then they start having wild sex every night when they play this game before realizing, holy shit, what's happening? Like, are we gay? But they try, and the guy quits. And his friend is like, I've tried having sex with all kinds of people. He's like, I even had sex with the bear character. With the bear. Because he's just trying to find this thrill. And it's basically, the whole game is turned into this big orgy. So all these people that are playing the multiplayer games get together in like 4v4 matches and just have sex.
Man, that sounds like the most awkward TV show ever. How can you watch
it's really
that?
Good. It's a really good episode.
It's actually quite well done.
They're all like independent episodes of each other, right?
Yeah.
Similar format to like Goosebumps, where it's like...
Yeah, or like Twilight Zone or something. Yeah, it's like...
Each episode has like a weird sort of theme to it. And like the theme might be... If you don't get enough likes on your YouTube video, you'll die or something like that. Or like just some dumb shit like that, right?
Yeah, it's generally, I'd say Black Mirror is categorized as near future or present and tech fear, like fear of technology and like maybe we're taking this too far and some cautionary stuff and looking at the extremes of current technology and sort of trends.
So is it good though? Worth watching?
Absolutely fantastic.
Okay.
It really is.
I'll check it
like,
out.
Like there are some duffers in there, you know, like the old Twilight Zones or whatever. There were some absolute honkingly bad episodes, but they're generally really, really good. Like Black Mirror is a great
TV show. But
there's
no like continuity between the episodes. There's no like arc
or anything. They're completely standalone. Right, okay. The most recent series is
well,
really
there's
good.
Actually, he said there's actually references to like crossovers. Like sometimes you can see little snippets of across because they're apparently in the same universe.
Yeah, yeah. Because okay. I know like I keep referencing Goosebumps because it's the only show that I can think of that's anything like I'd never watched Twilight Zone or anything. But like I think in Goosebumps, they used to have like company names and stuff like that would be the same. Like so like the universe stuff would be intact,
yeah.
But the characters and stuff were always different.
Anyway, I think what P-Flex was getting at was that he'd rather bang Ben in a video game than just some random guy. Or maybe you learn it in a video game and that a guy just punched one shots you in the face instead of like you're like leaning in for a kiss and he just sucker punches
get the fuck
you.
Off me
man
no
man.
I can't remember how we got onto it but I thought it was a really funny episode. Are you jealous of the fact that I said Ben is cool and I didn't say you're cool, Lewis?
Absolutely.
I just if I was loading up Striking Vipers and Ben was there, just saying, you know, maybe the future is different kinds of love.
So in Striking Vipers, the hot girl character that he played, which hot girl character did he play that resembles the most like a Street Fighter 2 character? Like, are we talking like Cammy or
she was like the Chun-Li kind of?
Yeah,
no,
right.
Yeah, Cammy, more like Cammy or Chun-Li. Yeah, that kind of character.
Okay.
That way.
I'm just trying to visualize. You know, I'm probably going to watch.
Oh, really? This might help out later.
Yeah, yeah. Help me
well,
later.
Go on. And make sure to wash it off though when you're
done. Yeah,
I'll get my
disinfectant soap.
Dildo.
And
don't leave it on the
dildinfect. We need to come up with a cool name for a dildo disinfectant, dildo wash. What, like dildy clean.
Dildoff?
Dildoff. We need to. It's got to be a catchy name. I think
Dildoff directed the latest Black Mirror.
I feel like there's
series,
a market we can corner here with dildo cleanser. There's got to be a cool name that we come up with. It, you know, like VI poo. I thought that was so clever.
What's VI poo?
It's like this fucking thing that you spray in the toilet. If you're like at a party or something, you take a shit because you know when you're at a party, you might need to take a shit. Because I guess you didn't take a shit before you left your house to go to the party or whatever. So there you are at somebody's fancy Beverly Hills house party.
Yeah.
And you're in this unfortunate position whereby, holy fuck, I need to take a shit right now in this mansion's bathroom. So in you go, you drop a real stinker, and then you have the VI poo, you spray it in the bowl, and it traps the smell inside the toilet bowl so that when the next person comes in, they can't tell that you've just dropped a steamy one ahead of them.
Wow, that's a very specific mark.
Yes.
I mean, you'd have to assume your friends don't have air freshener in the bathroom. And if it's a fancy house, why wouldn't it?
I think it creates like some sort of membrane or something. Like it's, yeah, look it up. VI poo. It's called VI poo. I'm surprised you've never heard of this.
I'm already carrying around wet wipes. I don't want to add to my bank of toiletries.
Well, I mean, guys, YonkCon's coming up and, you know, there's going to be a lot of people there. There's going to be at least a dozen people there who are like, I really look up to these guys, and they might not look up to you so much anymore if they go into the bathroom after you've just been in there, you've decimated it, you've had like too many ciders or whatever, and you're coming out and you're like, you're going in there, yeah, I need to go to the bath. I'd give it 35, 45 minutes before I'd go in there. Realistically, I don't have any respect for this man
Maybe
anymore.
You're right, because we're thinning down like the stuff we carry in our pockets. Because, you know, I've got like a card for my apartment. I could just beep the card right on the door and I've instead of keys. And I've got like on my phone, I can have my cards on my phone now. So I don't really need a wallet. So, I mean, I'm running with like two less pieces of kit than I used to. So if I fill those up with a little spray VI poo and some wet wipes, I think that car better have a better
you know
day.
What I'm surprised by as well, like you know, Cyberpunk is coming out pretty soon, and you know, like,
well, next year,
all
but
these,
yeah,
like, well, what, you know, soonish anyway. And you know that you had games like Deus Ex and games that deal with, you know, augmenting your body artificially but making it better.
Right.
And I'm surprised nobody's decided to
see where this is going.
Add like another sort of bit of skin to your
butthole,
to your tummy area, like a flap, like a kangaroo flap.
I think you're talking about a colostomy bag.
No, I'm talking about like a pouch that they stitch onto the front of your stomach. Okay. But it can like camouflage sort of thing. So they put like the belly button on the outside of the pouch. So that if you took somebody's shirt off, you would never be able to tell that there's a pouch there. But you could just lift this little flap, put your passport in there, maybe like the card for your apartment. You know, like if you got mugged and you didn't, there's certain things on you that you didn't want anybody to find, you know, like if you're walking down the street in the hood or whatever, and you got like a wad of cash, you put it in your sock, right? So that when somebody mugs you, they're like, give up the goods.
That's
and
the
you're
first
like,
place
whoa, I don't have anything on me though. And everybody, the situation is so intense that they forget to check your shoe and your sock. And that's where all your
stuff
is.
So you're
your
basically saying you want a cybernetic bum bag.
Yeah, that's like a cybernetic kangaroo pouch that you can hide valuables in on your body.
All right, I got a few questions here. Number one, that's going to get pretty smelly in there pretty quick.
Right.
You're talking about an armpit on your stomach.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Well, it could be another deterrent. So it's like a part of the defense system.
The other problem is...
Well, all right, I know you got a kangaroo pouch. Let's look at... Oh!
You carry like a fucking spray in your other pouch to keep your belly pouch smelling fresh.
It's like when people say that you should be able to get your bank details, you know, just go beep with your thumb and that unlocks your account. If you do that, people are just going to cut your thumb off. Like, I want that stuff.
See, again,
give someone.
People aren't just going to be cutting people's thumbs off left, right, and center.
Really? In the near future, when half the country is broke as shit and they're going to be cutting thumbs, your thumbs are going to be off in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, you know
they're
what?
They're going to go straight to your bank.
You get a fake thumb with your fingerprint on it and you hide it in your human kangaroo pouch. Nobody will find it.
I don't need my fucking thumbs. I'm not a console gamer. I just WASD and mouse control.
Yeah, no, but
you tried using a mouse without a thumb?
You need to use your thumbprint for identification, though. That's what, you know, so you need your thumb for that. But if your thumb gets cut off, you could make sure that you have a backup thumb that you hide in your kangaroo pouch that nobody will ever be able to find. I feel like that's a win.
That's enough podcast. Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Okay. Goodbye.
Thanks. See you later. Bye.